Hi there, and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast with me, Russell Davis. This week, we're looking at the subject of egg quality and how to improve your egg quality. Now, there's a misconception that you can't improve your egg quality. It's a general belief that you have your eggs from birth and they just deteriorate over time with age. Is that really true? In this episode, we're going to dive into that and I'm going to look at some of the research I've been reading recently to hopefully give you hope and give you some ideas and things you can do to actually improve your egg quality. If you enjoyed the episode, please do like and subscribe or leave a review. It really helps to share the love and help other people find this support that they may really need on their journey. Let's talk about egg quality. Now, I know there's a general perception, and maybe it's kind of school textbook kind of biology. And as we may not know, that school textbooks tend to be a number of years out of date. And as we know, science and technology moves forward so quickly. But there's a general perception that you cannot improve your egg quality. Your egg quality is fixed. You've had the eggs all your life and they just degrade over time with age. But one thing I'll say is that, you know, I'm not a cellular biologist, but in my own experience, my wife's fertility experience of many of my clients, and my own research, talking to gynecologists, embryologists, looking at research studies, is that I do believe it is possible to improve egg quality. You know, you can improve egg quality, you know, from a physical perspective, even taking kind of things like DHEA can be going to be prescribed to help improve egg quality. There are particular foods, and I can't speak to this because it's not my kind of specialist area, but you do some research and there's particular foods they believe may impact your egg quality. And I had a client, well, in fact, it was my first fertility client. I remember Michelle so clearly because I wasn't really expecting to work in the fertility space, but the gynecologist we worked with for so many years, 10 years on our journey, became a friend and is a kind of colleague now, I guess. But he started referring patients of his to me after I qualified as a therapist and a hypnotherapist. And working with Michelle, I suddenly realised I kind of understand this space. And I realised how much I could give back into this space because I think generally the quality of kind of patient care is really poor in the UK anyway. I'm not sure it's around the rest of the world, but I think, you know, generally the patient pathway, the patient experience is pretty poor, unfortunately. I'm not saying the quality of care is not support. The medical care is great often and mostly, but I think the patient experience and the kind of psychological support on this journey is poor. It's getting better. I think there's more things to tap into than we did our journey, you know, 18 years ago. So I'm saying to Michelle. So Michelle had done 3 rounds of IVF before she came to see me, and we worked with each other, preparing her for her 4th round of IVF. And her 3rd round, she was 39 and she harvested a very low quality number of eggs. And what's interesting, so I just said she was 39, that's pretty kind of in some sense irrelevant, but I wanted to share that not because it's linked to the quality of her eggs, but actually because often at that kind of age there's a sense of desperation and fear and all sorts of things, and that was true for Michelle. But she harvested a very low number of good quality eggs in her 3rd round of IVF, and they've been adjusting the protocol along the way. And we worked together before the 4th round, and I did a further adjustment to the protocol. And just in our conversations and our work together, and following a conversation with the doctor, she realised how egg quality was important. I mean, there's 3 things you need for successful IVF. One is a good embryo, quality, which obviously is linked to good egg and sperm quality and the interaction between the two. So good embryo quality, good environment the embryo is going back into, and a good interaction between the embryo and your uterus and the lining. So good embryo quality starts with good egg quality. And she could just, all she could picture was her body kind of, you know, harvesting and producing low quality eggs. And we helped her change that and had a sense of hope and possibility that things could change. And she used to have this visualization, and she had these kind of dots where the blue dots and red dots, and the red dots were poor quality, the blue dots were good quality. And she imagined visualizing the mix changing. The one thing she did, apart from some deep work we did and letting go of the fear of not being a mother and all the pressure she put on herself, the fear of failure and all the other good stuff that tends to go with a kind of Project U kind of journey. And comes down to the fourth round of IVF, and she harvested a very high number of good quality eggs. And was it just down to our work together? Was, you know, did the change of protocol make a difference? Who knows? She generally believes it could be a mix, but she puts most of it, a lot of it, down to our work and just her almost belief that her body could be doing something different. And even recently I was reading in the Journal of Biomedical Science. Yes, I don't always be reading these journals. It's not my bedtime reading, but occasionally I do dip in to see what the latest research around this kind of stuff is. And there was a study in, you know, this kind of Journal of Biomedical Science, and it's going to read you the conclusion, because it puts it far more eloquently than I can. And this is words I don't understand, but we gloss over those. I'll explain them. So environmental changes, pressure, demands, and several other factors may generate psychological stress. Psychological stress increases production of cortisol that stimulates lifestyle changes. These changes may directly or indirectly affect the physiology of the ovary. Cortisol induces granulosa cell apoptosis, and I can't tell you what that is, and affects estradiol B17-beta biosynthesis in the ovary. Of course, I don't understand this or what that is, but clearly it's making some changes within the ovary. Reduced level of estradiol in the ovary impairs growth and development of follicles and deteriorates oocyte quality. Oocyte is like a premature egg. Oocyte is what becomes the egg. Indeed, stress could be one of the major causative factors that generates oxidative stress, induces apoptosis, deteriorates oocyte quality, and reduces reproductive outcomes in mammals, including human. So that's just one study that indicates, you know, that even stress can impact oocyte quality, which is effectively egg quality, because oocyte is the, it will becomes your egg. And so for me, that gives hope. It realizes actually there's more we can do than we generally think. And I know the whole mind-body link, the mind effect in the body, that, you know, the whole of medical science is an essay. I know a lot of gynecologists won't believe in these kind of studies because there's been no double-blind trials like there has been for medication, for pharmaceutical drugs. But who funds these very expensive double-blind trials? It's obviously the pharmaceutical companies. But there are plenty of research to indicate the mind-body link, and particularly impact on your mind and stress on fertility. And this is one example where actually we'll get into the detail of it, why they think stress does impact fertility. They believe it can impact egg quality. So there are environmental factors, your egg quality, and changing the environmental factors, whether it is your general health and foods and nutrition. And there are plenty of nutritionists that specialise in fertility that can give you advice on that. And if you listen to last week's podcast, in fact, I've interview a lovely natural fertility expert who you can get advice from and even a free book from. So check out last week's podcast for advice around kind of more physical environmental factors that can be impacting your fertility. And Gabrielle is a lovely person to meet and work with, so I recommend last week's podcast. So let's go back to stress. So stress can impact on your equality. So what do you do about stress? How do you manage stress? And I'm not a big fan of managing stress, because when we talk about managing stress, it almost presupposes that you can't do anything about the root cause. And often when we think stress is caused by circumstances, the fact you can't get pregnant, and you think, well, I can't change that, it becomes like a vicious circle. So how can you let go of the stress that may be impacting your chance of getting pregnant? And if that's the cause of stress, how can you let go of the stress? Surely you just have to manage it. And I don't care about repeating myself, but it's about seeing that the cause of stress is not actually our circumstances. It's actually our thoughts and our beliefs. And beliefs are just thoughts you've had habitually. They're still thoughts in this moment. They're not ingrained into our DNA. We're only ever who we think we are in this moment. The experience of ourselves and life only comes from our thinking in this moment. And yes, we may have habitual thinking. I very much had habitual thinking. I was a warrior. I really thought it was my personality type, but it really isn't. No one's born a warrior. No one's born a kind of type A personality. It's something that, you know, we kind of learn. It's a habitual way of thinking. It's not our DNA. It's not our true sense of self. So for me, it's exploring the true sense of stress. And there's plenty of other episodes. If you scan through the history, there's other episodes I've done particularly, specifically around stress. And I really encourage you to look at those, or listen to those. But what I want to take away from this is actually maybe the hope that you can change your equality. You can improve your equality. There's research that kind of backs that up. How? I encourage you to look at some of the, or listen to some of the episodes on stress, to look at your relationship with stress, to look at maybe some of your thoughts, the beliefs you have about yourself and life and your fertility journey that are creating your stress, that are creating your experience of this journey. Because nothing actually makes us feel anything. 100% of our experience comes from our thoughts. You have a habit of stressful thoughts. You have a habit of future thinking. That tends to be a common thing behind stress, is future thinking. And maybe look at visualization. The thing is about visualization, you need to truly believe the thing you're visualizing, believe it's possible. You can't use visualization to convince yourself of something you don't truly believe is possible. It's having something you believe and just helping your body get in alignment to that. So you don't really believe you can get pregnant, then that's something to look at. Reach out, maybe you can help with that. If you truly believe you can get pregnant, if you truly believe that you can improve your quality, then visualization is a really powerful way of guiding your body to get on board of the program to what you believe, and giving your unconscious mind a bit of a helping hand in that direction. But if you doubt that's possible, or fear it's not going to happen, all those things can contaminate the mind-body link. It will stop it. You harness in the mind-body link for positive uses, and it contaminates it, because it almost hijacks the mind-body link for negative consequences. So, yeah, do you really believe you can improve your equality? Do you really believe you can get pregnant? Are you really scared it's not going to happen? Those things can actually induce stress. And it can be a vicious circle. The way to break in that circle is you're taking a step back of Project Baby and beginning to notice where your stress or worry or overthinking shows up in other areas of your life. Maybe not so strongly, but it probably does. And if it does, it shows actually that's what you need to look at. Look at your habit of being a warrior, or habit of not being in control, or fear of not being in control, or fear of failing that shows up in other areas of your life. That's what's about taking a step back and focusing on Project You. And then when you do that, Project Baby takes more care of itself. But let's come back to the subject of the day, improving equality. I want you to take away that, yes, it really is possible to improve your equality. There are environmental factors, including stress, and I think particularly stress, that can impact your equality. And that's, for me, it's empowering. That means you can do something about that. We can change that. So I hope this gives you hope. I hope this helps you see that, yeah, there's more possibility for you and your fertility journey than maybe sometimes we think. Loving you.